My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's 5 o'clock
on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we're live at Taco Mac, Dallas Highway, right here in Marietta. Great spot, guys, to come through if you're on your way home. Maybe you live out this way. Stop in, have an ice cold brew, and hang out with your boys for a few. We'll be here until 7 o'clock, guys. Coming up, you'll hear Caden Ellis, who joined us earlier in the show, linebacker for our Atlanta Falcons, Mike. And he talked a lot about what he thought the Falcons did well in these practices. Today we heard some things, that sound like, hey, we're moving in the right direction. But we got to start with the injury with Rondale Moore because, guys, that ended practice today, Mike, for a wide receiver who was making some hay here.
Yeah, man, they were in a scrimmage situation, and it was a non-contact injury. It was described. It was a really apparently painful injury where a lot of players probably realized this is something to do with an ACL or something that's going to require. And we're not trying to guess, but based on the player's body language, how they gathered around him, an air cast was administered. That's never a good sign. Ambulance rolls down on the field. At that point, they're like, look, practice is over. We're done. Rondale Moore was a guy that's been doing good things in practice. He's speedy. He's a guy you see in the slot. And that's a dude that I think that if you look at, the depth, we talked about Casey Washington. There's other guys now. They'll move up in the board, you could argue. But you hate to see it for a younger player who now at a team he felt he could really have some success with. He's got to go back to basically square one. And then you lose the entire season. If what we saw is as bad as it looks, maybe it's better than expected.
Yeah, and that's the bad news. The good news is that the defensive front was disruptive and got after the quarterback. And things that you know we want to hear, certainly as Falcon fans, guys, I don't think that we should be as worried. I'm a little, just because we hadn't seen it yet, but not as worried about the offense. I think that's going to be our bread and butter. The defensive side of the football, can we consistently get pressure? Can we cover the things that you wondered about? Well, listen, the Falcons didn't get embarrassed going up against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Yes, Tyreek Hill caught one over the top yesterday, but at the end of the day, they did a really good job of containing those explosive plays. So those are the things you want to hear. We did not want to hear today, oh, man, Miami was getting whatever they wanted. They were going over the top, multiple times. I think, Mike, I feel a lot better about potentially this front seven and the pass rush coming out of these joint practices. Now, it's one joint practice, but again, it's the first time we've gotten a chance to see them compete against somebody else besides ourselves.
Right. And I love the stuff yesterday from Calais. He's like, Kirk Cousins is a legend, man. You know how Calais sounds? He goes, and I love that Penix kid looks pretty good. Exactly. I mean, I know that we're getting into the weeds about the depth chart, and we got competent quarterback play. But I'm with you, brother. Hearing all those things that we're hearing about, these are sacks. These are real pressures, not just simply the old. Remember Mike Smith? Sacks don't matter. If sacks didn't matter, sacks do matter. Everybody that went in the playoffs last year was in the top 10 in sacks. So you got to have it. We're going to have some heat. Now we just don't know who those guys are going to be. Ebikadi, building on the 6 sacks from last year. You pointed that out earlier. We love what we're seeing. Isn't it funny? And you'll hear what Caden Ellis says coming up about you know, Braylon Trice.
Yeah.
And you and I said this just in our conversation. Said, if ever there's a guy who looks like a dude who looks like a guy that can get after the quarterback and be a – it's that guy. He was a defensive captain for Washington.
Let's Big O back at the studio. We're live at Taco Mac Guys, Dallas Highway. Let's hear Brandon Dorlus. I want you to play what he had to say about Jimmy Lake's defense being very similar to the defense he played at Oregon, Mike. Right. And we talk about schematically, what are they going to do? How do you free people up? Dorlus, by the way, had a good day, at least according to Tori McElhaney, who joined us, and she was saying, listen, he was getting after it. Trice missed day one. He was there today for practice. Here's Brandon Dorlus.
I mean, it's not as much as I was during the college, as drastic it is. We have plays where, you know, with this, we have bigger guys on the edge, you know, working the edge rushes too. But, like, the scheme that we're running is very similar to Oregon, you know, a lot of four techniques for me to play. But, you know, same thing I do in college, I'm everywhere. I'm very comfortable in this defense, and it's been fun working with Jimmy Lake. You know, I've been on his defense ever since at Washington, and, you know, it's very similar. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, the thing about, you know, Oregon, obviously, with Dan Lanning is he's doing very similar things that they did at Georgia, which is a NFL-type defense.
Right.
Well, Georgia is doing very similar things that Nick Saban did at Alabama, which is an NFL-type defense.
Right.
That's why I think this transition, and this is what I'm getting to, may be easier for some of the guys that we've drafted, Mike, because of the familiarity. If you know what you're doing, you know your assignments, I can play free. I'm not worried about, oh, do I need to be here? Am I in this gap? Am I coming off the edge?
Right.
Mike, that all that matters in how fast you end up playing. So when we say we need to see some of these young guys pop in the rookie class, that may be one of the reasons why.
Yeah, it's also, I guess we got a little a peek behind the curtain when we spoke with A.J. Terrell during the week at minicamp when he was talking about, because we asked him, where are the picks coming from? Because he knows the story. He's gonna, you're trying to get a contract. We got to get more interceptions. And he thought that, you know, this new scheme is going to be a little more opportunistic for him in the secondary specifically.
For sure.
Maybe for everybody else to kind of use their athleticism. You know, I know that we got sick and tired of the Dan Quinn zone, because when you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, your zone gets picked apart, right? It's pretty simple. So I think we've gone through different styles. And then, you know, Dean Pease making sort of lemonade out of lemons and still not getting there all the time. And then last year, guys like Ryan Nielsen. And then we had three games we lost because they still couldn't get the heat on the quarterback, or at least contain him. So I'm hoping this year the combination of athleticism, the size we've added, you know, and just the scheme is going to finally maximize his talent. But I still lean towards offense will set the tone, and then we just don't know what the defense is yet. But these are the if all goes well, these expectations get met, right?
They do. 404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you guys. As always, find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Coming up, you will hear our interview with Caden Ellis. And he talks about, you know, the development of some of these guys that we're mentioning. But if you were to say, all right, Dukes and Bell, you know, can you grade it out? What did you think over the last couple of days? I think we got positive work. I do not think we got worked over. I don't think we embarrassed ourselves. And I certainly think with the offense that the Dolphins are allegedly going to have, this is a good test. That's going to be an explosive offense. And remember, they put up 70 on the Broncos last year, guys. Everybody lost their mind when they did that. And for the first 8 or 9 weeks of the season, this is one of the more prolific offenses in the league, Mike. So to say, hey, everybody's healthy, and they had Tyreek Hill, and Tua was out there, and the run game, and how this defense fared, I feel pretty good.
Right. You'll hear what Tori McElhaney saw down there the last 2 days. That'll be coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. Speaking of the media, D-Led was talking to Grady Jarrett, and obviously one of the big stories in this offseason for Miami was the Tua Tagovailoa contract extension.
For sure.
Thanks for the hit, Mike. Grady says, he said, rightfully deserved the contract. When asked about Tua, Grady said that he's been leading this program for a long time. He said he's happy for him. Says he loves guys who are able to overcome the doubters. Says when he got hurt, a lot of people didn't think he was going to make it back. So for what it's worth, Grady's a fan of Tua.
Yeah, and I'm with that. I mean, I don't think Grady would take money out of anybody's pocket, you know, saying, hey, this dude's not deserving. But this is an overcoming story with Tua, right?
I mean,
Mike, I was under the impression, and I hope we don't get back to this, where after seeing him, you know, having convulsions on the field, I was afraid for his life.
Right.
I was afraid
just
for his
from a humanity standpoint, right?
Yeah.
Just, you know, whatever you're going to do outside of football.
Forget about football. So to see him come back and stay healthy, and again, I repeat, it was one season. Guys, one season, and this is the issue, Mike, you guaranteed $167 million. One season doesn't guarantee you that you're going to be one of the elite quarterbacks for the next decade. I hope he is, but I just don't know. And so to hear guys, Tyreek Hill was talking about it. We played a soundbite earlier where he said, look, Tua's deep ball is great. They were talking about that connection yesterday that they had in practice.
Right.
It's all good, man. I'm not wishing any ill will on Tua Tagovailoa. I do think, though, I still have my doubts and concerns.
Hey, by the way, Coach, brah, as far as, you know, the Miami reaction, yeah, to your point, not happy with what the Falcons were doing. I mean,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I mean, not happy, like, I mean, we, not like it's dirty pool or anything, just that his guys weren't
success.
Handling it.
Success.
Yeah, talking about the blitz packages, saying that he didn't feel this from D-Led, that the quarterbacks, Tua Tagovailoa and Mike White, former Jet, right, Mike White, were not locating their hot receivers fast enough to counter the Falcons' blitz packages. Raheem said that you got to watch Tua and Mike have to throw the ball hot is what you're looking for. So whatever they were dialing up, and this was in this controlled environment. Not sure, are we going to see this from our backups on Friday night? But they did throw some stuff, which this bodes well. This is what you and I have been talking about. Carl, I'm not saying we got to be Buddy Ryan in 85 with the Bears. But, man, I'd rather be blitzing than sitting back and taking it.
Well, and this is why, again, they believe they've got the guys in the building, and they were not as ecstatic about not going to go get a specific pass rusher.
Right.
I think they got a bunch of interchangeable guys, Mike. That's what I think we have.
Right.
Does one dominate and turn into a stud? Potentially. But I think you got a bunch of interchangeable guys with size, speed, agility, and then you put them in a scheme that makes them successful. Hopefully what happens is somebody becomes dominant. I'm telling you guys, I think Arnold Ebiketie is going to have more than six sacks. That's what he had last year, right? Six?
Right. Six.
I think he's going to have more than six sacks, and if he approaches double digits, then he has done exactly what we expect in this particular point in his career, going into what is going to be, you know, a contract year,
right,
We drafted him. He's gone through a couple of coaching changes. So
second round pick. Now it's time to pop.
But it's time to get it. It's time to get it.
And we mentioned this earlier. You'll hear it from Caden Ellis because Carl was asking the question about, you know, battling in that linebacker group. Apparently, you know, a guy that we, you know, some Falcon fans maybe forgot about, Troy Anderson,
can run, man,
is getting it in. And Nate Landman, who we thought did a really nice job, they're best buddies and stuff.
The hammer.
But the Zimbabwe Lion apparently is getting bested so far by what Anderson's putting out there on tape right now for the Falcons in practice.
All right, coming up here, Caden Ellis. Also, we'll talk about the Braves. I said to you guys before we started the 5 o'clock hour, there is a story out there about Brian Snicker that we will share with you coming up. Also, last night was embarrassing, plain and simple. And I'm not believing in this team anymore. I'm just not. You think they're a World Series team? I do not. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley coming up. Caden Ellis is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Our man Caden Ellis is down there in the MIA, the 305.
305.
taking on those Dolphins. Caden Ellis, starting linebacker for our Atlanta Falcons. Caden, man, it's good to have you back on the show. How was practice today, man? And obviously, you know what, we want to give a shout-out to Rondale Moore. Prayers up, and hopefully this is not as serious, and hopefully he's able to get back. But we know that that kind of ended practice today. But how was it for you guys on the defensive side, man?
First off, appreciate you all for having me back on. But yeah, prayers for Rondale that, you know, like you said, perfectly said, it's not how you want to end practice. It's not something you want to happen, but praying for him, family, and hopefully it'll be quick, easy, nothing too serious, and we'll get him back out there soon so we can keep being the work that he is. But yeah, no, practice was good, man. It was a lot of fun. There was good energy out there today. You know, the good Lord bless us with some clouds out there, and you're able to keep flying around, so it was a good time.
Going into his sixth NFL season, it's Caden Ellis, and we had a great chance to talk to him last year when you got here. And I said he's going to lead the team in sacks.
You did say that,
so I did lose money on you. But I know you're going to bounce back this year, Caden. What do you think about the new scheme? What's the biggest difference with Jimmy Lake as the DC?
Yeah, thanks for sorry, I lost you some money, but thanks for the prompt. I'll go for you again this year.
Thanks.
You know, Jimmy's bringing a really cool scheme. You know, obviously he's been with Ron for a long time, and it's kind of something cool because they've been together since Tampa back in the day, and so they've had a plethora of different teams, different minds that they've been around, different players, different coaches, and kind of what they put together is pretty cool. And I think just one of the benefits of having you know, so many different inputs for the defensive scheme is they're not kind of landlocked into any one particular set or formation or personnel. They're really going at, you know, all right, who are our best players? What are their strengths? How are we going to capitalize on the roster that we have right now? I just commend them for that, and they're doing a really good job, and I'm excited for us to go put it together on Sunday.
Caden, I want you to be completely honest about this, because the people down there in Miami hit me up today, and they said, look, the Dolphins aren't torching. They're not torching the Falcons. Everybody says, you know, Tyreek Hill and Jaden Waddle. And when you guys had a chance to go up against, you know, one-on-ones, I'm talking about ones versus ones, the first team, you guys were disruptive up front. This is what is being reported. And you guys, you know, didn't get torched. So you got to feel pretty good about that, right, with this explosive offense that you were facing.
Yes, obviously seeing what they've been able to do, the speed that they have all over the field was something that we were excited to come in, and we knew that, I mean, we've known going up against our offense that we're tough, that we're a good defense, and that we've got good rules and a good ability to play anything. But when you add that speed component that they have, maybe the best in the league, all of a sudden, you know, some rules are going to get tested a little bit. And I can probably say our rules and our players held up great. We did a really good job. We guys in the back end covered, played hard, did what they had to do, and locked some guys down. And up front, we were able to get after the quarterback quite a bit. So it was a good 2 days for us.
We talked the other day with, who's it, Braylon Trice. Again, he was maybe missed the early day in practice. Caden Ellis joins us today. What do you think about some of the new guys,
yeah,
you know, that are in the, obviously they're behind you on the depth chart, but it looks like we've added some physicality and some real length on defense.
Yes, you know, I think they've done a really good job of pulling some new faces. You know, Braylon, he's a powerful human being, and that's one guy I really like watching. And you know, getting to play behind because he's disruptive. And when you get big boys up front who are disruptive, it makes everything, you know, trickle-down effect. It makes everything behind him a lot easier. It makes it easier for us at linebacker spot. And then if we can also go and be disruptive, it makes things a little bit easier on Jesse and those guys in the back. So having those guys up front, you know, JD, some of the other dudes, a bunch of these, I mean, we've already had a really good D-line. I know they had some injuries last year, but at the end of the day, we had some dudes up front, and they just went out and found some more. So it's been really positive.
Caden Ellis here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tell us about what you see with Arnold Ebiketie. I think he takes a jump. He had 6 sacks last year. Caden, I keep saying he's got to be a double-digit sack guy. And then again, reports out of Miami is he was getting after. You know, could have had 2 a couple of times in the backfield there. Give me your analysis on Arnold Ebiketie.
Yeah, you know, AK, he's an awesome player. He was in our linebacker room last year. It was fun to be there with him. And now, you know, he's moved on to the outside backers, true, you know, kind of the 3-4 defense, but it obviously fits him really well, and it's going to use his skill set to the best of their ability, and he'll have every opportunity to go out there and be that double-digit sack guy that we all want him to be, and he's obviously capable of being. So I'm excited for him. He's got, you know, his talent through the roof, his sky's the limit, and I'm excited to see him go.
We talked a lot about in the offseason the moves that were made, and obviously no bigger story than picking up Kirk Cousins. What do you think about the guy? I mean, it just seems like natural leader. Every time we hear a sound by Caden, it's like, wow, I really like this guy.
Yeah.
How's the buzz with the locker room with Kirk?
Yeah, no, Kirk's awesome. He's like, obviously you know it, and you see, I mean, the dang commercial last year for the NFL schedule when they're releasing it, and he had the, you know, he just kind of plays into the role that he is, and the humor that he has, the dang chains and the cold cash, and I mean, things from that just make you laugh and, you know, kind of maybe break the ice or whatever. And then at the same time, he's someone that you can sit down and have a really serious conversation to. You can go to him for anything, and he'll help you, whether it's football, faith, family, all the above. So he's just an awesome guy. He's really adamant about helping his team in every way he possibly can. Obviously, it's going to be by leading us on the field as a quarterback. But what's maybe most impressive is how he's doing it in the background, growing relationships, developing that camaraderie that, you know, I've been around Drew Brees and whatnot, and I was there at the end of his, and there was a very special camaraderie there, and you get a guy like Kirk Cousins who has all the talent to, you know, go be that Super Bowl winning quarterback to bring the first championship to Atlanta. But some guys around the league that are also talented like that already have that camaraderie going, so what I think he's doing a really good job of is really plugging in and becoming not only that leader on the field, that leader off the field, and it's going to be a blessing to be with him.
Caden, tell us how you're handling this competition between Nate Landman, the Hammer, and Troy Anderson being back. We know they're really good friends. You guys seem all like you're cool together, but we know that somebody's going to see a majority of the snaps, right? How are you handling that when, you know, you're kind of in the middle of it, seeing these guys compete every day?
Yeah, I just keep telling them, look, at the end of the day, again, like I was talking about earlier with the defensive staff, I was like, guys, these coaches, they have a lot of knowledge and expertise, and they seem adamant that they are going to get the best players in the field. So I just keep telling them, let's go out and let's make the most plays in the field, and they'll find a way to get us out there. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
That's kind of how I keep telling them. And obviously the coaches have decisions to make and people to put on the field. And I told them, look, I'll play outside backer, inside backer. Let's just put the best guys out there. So whoever's making plays, let's go. So I think, you know, kind of how you got to look at that. For them individually, us as a linebacker room and us collectively as a defense, is just make the plays, put yourself in a position, and let the coaches decide after that.
It's Caden Ellis with us, guys, Falcons linebacker here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Taco Mac up here in Marietta. The expectations for this team are certainly higher than they've been because we have a quarterback. No knock on the other guys, you know, we're here. It's just we've elevated that position. Do you feel the buzz? I mean, you look around the room because you've been in the league now. This is your 6th season. Do you see the talent and think this team can be a team that can make that run?
Yes, and I mean, it's one of those things that last year you also saw the talent. Obviously, things didn't come together for, you know, reasons that are known and obvious and maybe some reasons that aren't, but at the end of the day, it didn't come together. But you see the roster has a lot of key pieces back, a lot of pieces that you saw last year that were going to be special that were, and now I believe that we've put ourselves into a position with some acquisitions Terry and everybody's made from the coaching staff down to the different players that I think it's going to allow us to capitalize on the opportunity, capitalize on the talent, capitalize on the rooms that we have, because the position groups we have, I mean, they're all pretty, I mean, it seems pretty loaded. Now you got to go make it happen. You got to go out there and execute. And what's so awesome, maybe my favorite thing about it is just yeah, the talent there, but the attitude and effort and just the hunger and energy is just contagiously there, you know. In the middle of training camp, there's going to be days where you're tired, you're sore, you're hurt, you're bumped, you're bruised. And I've been on plenty of teams in the past where it was really hard to get yourself in the middle of practice back in the right mindset. Right now, it's just contagious. It's easy. It's like no matter how sore I am, it doesn't matter because we're out there, we're going, it's fun, it's enjoyable, and we're all chasing something special together.
Caden, I have a personal favor to ask you. Can I ask you something?
Yep.
All right. So last year, we played New Orleans the last game of the season. Now, Jameis Winston's not there anymore, but you and I both know that was some BS they pulled at the end of the game. And all I'm saying, you know it was. And all I'm saying is when these guys roll into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I think it's week five, Mike,
Week five.
Bro, just come on, man. We got to make that personal. That was completely uncalled for, man. I'm still hot about it, Caden.
Oh, we're coming. Don't worry. We got it.
Okay.
But actions speak louder than words. We'll come. We'll come.
Okay.
We'll take care of business.
That's what I'm talking about. That particular the way that went down last year just didn't sit well with any Falcon fan. And I was like, really, y'all gonna punch it in with like no time on the clock? It was ridiculous.
I know that was a bad look, but it's all right. We'll get ours.
Okay, cool. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I mean, for what it's worth, I was down there too.
How many times we can punch Tyler and Bajan in there?
Right on.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Right on, brother. Well, hey, man. And by the way, I how excited are you? I mean, just as I'm sure as you get up for every game you play, but knowing you'll be in the national spotlight too, we got a lot of national juice, a lot of primetime games this year.
Yeah.
I know. It's fun, right? Makes it easier for my family out west to see the game, so I'm really excited for it. my grandparents will text me all the time and be like, we were listening on the radio or, you know, we were checking on the app, but, you know, we don't get that game anymore. And last year, that was almost every game, but this year, we got some West games. We got some primetime games. My family's going to be able to watch a lot. I'm excited.
No, man. It's going to be – Caden Ellis is going to be a good year, bro. So, I'm glad you guys got some good work in down there. And once again, you can confirm defensive front was disruptive in these two practices against Miami. Yes?
Oh, yeah. We were rolling.
Awesome. All right, man. Appreciate you, bro. We'll talk to you when you get back.
Okay. Done deal. Talk to you all
soon.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks
good
for
stuff.
Having me. God bless.
They were rolling, Carl, quote unquote.
I like it. I mean, he said that with such confidence, too. He was like, yep, rolling.
Well, we heard the comments of Coach Mike McDonald saying that they got after it. They made Tua and Mike White very uncomfortable in the pocket, and they were having a hard time picking up our blitz stuff as well.
I can't wait, Mike.
I've been wanting this to be a blitz-crazed team for so many years.
Falcons have blitzed 32 out of 33 plays today.
You and I have sat in Mercedes-Benz, and, you know, you and I know the story. You and I go get a beer or something, and some fan, you got to tell him to stop this zone defense. I'm like, it only works when there's pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, we're getting carved up. Hey, coming up, we got some Braves news you want to hear. Also, last night was embarrassing. Can we turn that around? And what's happening with this pitching rotation? Grant McCauley next as we go around the yard on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell live at Taco Mac, Dallas Highway in Marietta. Let's talk to our man, Grant McCauley. Lots of stuff going on with our Braves. First and foremost, what's going on with this rotation? Ian Anderson scratched. He's going to be used later. How later are we talking about? Grant, fill us in on the latest with Ian Anderson.
Yeah, I think they've just finally got to that point in his rehab where he could be a viable candidate to come up and help accomplish what the Braves have wanted to accomplish throughout the year, which was create extra rest for their starters, specifically Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez. So we know Lopez is out right now. I still think the Braves would like to utilize as much as they can, since there aren't very many off days, trying to find an extra arm that can come in and help out. It looks like by pushing his start to the end of the week, or pushing his start to Friday, that it would line him up to be able to help in the San Francisco series should they call on him. So nothing major, to get alarmed about in terms of, oh, no, are we dealing with another thing? It doesn't sound like that. But obviously for Ian Anderson, this is a major development if he's knocking on the door of rejoining this club for the first time since late in 2022.
I know it's been the big ifs. You know, if Michael, you know, Money Harris comes back and can hit, if Ozzy can come back sooner than later, this is ahead of schedule based on, Grant, what you and I and Carl were talking about, you know, back in the spring. So that's some good news. We also saw today, Grant, and it's a story which is, you know, I don't know how much you know about it, but John Heyman, of course, covers MLB, says he's hearing, or at least feels, that maybe there's a chance after the contract ends for Snicker, he's going to walk away after 25.
Well, I mean, I think you just kind of have to look at a few things there. And I won't say that that is indicative of really anything that wouldn't be criteria that you would have to consider based on where he is in life. Like, Brian Snitker spent four decades as a minor league manager and a coach on Bobby Cox's staff for a number of years as well. But he was, you know, to say late bloomer in terms of being a big league manager would be putting it lightly. He has been a great story. But as he does get older, I'm sure he's got other criteria, other things in life that he would like to check off. I have not heard, nor have I asked Snit about his plans beyond the 2025 season. And that'll be something that I think, you know, he may be feeling some kind of way right now. And who knows what happens the rest of this year? Who knows what happens next year that might have the Braves continue to, you know, to go forward with that relationship and the current arrangement beyond that. But I don't think, and this is just based on the number of contracts, you know, extensions that he has signed in his time with the Braves since taking over in 2016. It wasn't like he was like, oh, I need a five-year deal because I need that certainty to know that I'm going to be around. Instead, he has gone a year, 2 years, 3 years at a time. And it's just worked out, and I think that he's been pretty committed to that. And we'll see how much longer he wants to go forward, because obviously he has a pretty big say in this whole thing.
Bryce Elder was terrible last night, Grant. 3 2/3, literally a week after going 6 1/3 and looking like, hey, I can handle this lineup. He didn't last night. I don't think he gave us a shot at all, not alone. Not only that, but the fact that we didn't hit. So, look, it's hard to just say we're going to when we haven't in the last 27 innings scored a run. What can you say? And I, you know, speaking of Snit, I said this earlier, Grant, I feel bad for him because you start thinking about, hey, what else can I do? There's nothing else he can do. He's tried different lineups. Right. He's tried different rotations. So where are we at with this? Because I am starting to lose faith that this team is going to be able to do the things we think they can come playoff time.
Well, I mean, they've got to prove it, right? And to this point, this has not been any version of prove it that the Braves set out for in 2024. This is a club that started out hot and has essentially treaded water. And let's give credit where it's due, by and large, because of what the pitching staff has done. So as much as we can look at last night and say, oh, Bryce Elder had a bad start, you know, he didn't get the job done, the Braves were shut out for the second consecutive game, and that scoreless inning streak is up to 24. Let's hope it doesn't get to 27, but if it does, you know, that's just more indicative of what this offense has been. The first time they've been shut out in back-to-back days, I believe, in a decade. That's the kind of thing that we just didn't expect to see coming into this year. But we've talked about that. Brian Snicker's talked about that. He's been asked about that. And I know he caught some flack on social media. I was watching, you know, the reaction to his commentary, like, oh, are you just now noticing? Have you not been paying attention? Yes, he's been paying attention. He knows. But he's also tried to maintain a faith in the talent level that the Braves have, even with some of the injuries they sustained, to be better than they are. But it's not going to do him or anybody else any good to just come out and say, hey, we're terrible every single time that they lose. I mean, you have to have some kind of emotional regulation, and that unfortunately falls on him, you know, for better or for worse. So there are no answers. There is not some secret formula lineup that's just sitting underneath, you know, locked away in a safe somewhere at Truist Park that Brian Snitker is going to roll out and be able to fix this lineup. It's going to come with guys like Austin Riley have figured it out. Marcelo Ozuna has been great. Can Jorge Soler get going? Is Matt Olson finally out of his funk? Then you factor in, as you talked about, Mike, the comebacks of some injured players. There are a lot of variables here, but I will say this until I'm blue in the face, because apparently that's what I need to say, maybe just so that it pushes it out into the universe. But you just never know what can happen if you get hot at the right time. But clearly, and to Carl's point, that time has been pushed further and further down the road than I think anybody had rightfully expected coming into this year.
Now, I just think, as Grant McCauley joins us, guys, we're live here at Taco Mac in Marietta. I just thought that, you know, Snicker did such an amazing job in 21 in juggling the lineups in the right time to move Rosario here or Soler, that I was never going to get back on his back. I mean, it's not his fault that his general manager didn't give enough pitching 2 years ago. You know, when they lose to the Phillies, or last year, the team just goes ice cold. You cannot. Snicker, I mean, they would have been talking about him like, you know, the legendary managers of all time for this run. So I'm with you. I used to be one of those sports talk, like Sparky the Sportscaster, going to kill the manager. You're rolling out Merrifield and Kelnick and Rosario at this stage of his career. This is not what we were expecting. Meanwhile, Soler, is Soler going to catch some fire? And I know I asked you this yesterday, but you still believe Soler is the best chance at number one? You wouldn't try Money Harris?
No, I wouldn't. And that's not to say that they won't or that they shouldn't or that they, you know, haven't thought about it. But if this is, we're in small sample size theater with Jorge Soler. I mean, he has been over here for what, a week? Obviously, he'd love to have had a better week, a bigger week. So would several guys in that lineup, for that matter, especially over the last 3 days, where the Braves went from a club that all of a sudden felt like, and I know we've been on this ride before, maybe they're trending in the right direction. The Phillies, they're taking on a little bit of water. Maybe we're going to have ourselves a race down the stretch. And then you go out and split that series with the Marlins. You get blanked by the Brewers, and you got to put it on the offense. And there's nothing Brian Snitker can do to make them hit more. I don't think it's the manner of how they're lined up. I think he's utilizing players based on their resume, and as he would say, the back of their baseball card, which would prove that they've been good for a while, where they should be. So, you know, as much as I'd love to continue on into telling you that I've got some version of the answers, I just didn't expect this kind of thing. I know that Brian Snitker didn't. I'm sure that the Braves didn't. It's not to say they can't or won't figure it out, but it is getting late at this point. And in baseball season, I feel like it's early till it's late. And now we're in the dog days of summer. We're heading down that stretch. We're in the second half. You know, it's not a matter of months left in the season. It's a matter of weeks left. And the Braves definitely need to try to trend in that right direction so that they give themselves a chance to do what they set out to do. And that's something special come October.
Grant, are they going to continue to try to get Sale and Charlie Morton extra rest? How are they going to operate with this?
Can he afford that?
I don't think it's so much on Charlie. Charlie's been pretty much on his regular, you know, every fifth day. But Sale, absolutely. And I think that the proof is in the numbers that he has put up. I don't know that this is going to need to be a thing going forward for every year that he's here. But coming off a five-year stretch the way that he was with, you know, one major injury, I think, and then some fluky stuff that cropped up as well, I think you just wanted to take the precautions that you could to get Chris Sale to be able to have this kind of performance. I think he's benefited from this rest. I think that that's a big reason why the Braves rotation has been able to stabilize with no Spencer Strider is a Cy Young caliber performance by Chris Sale. So who am I to argue with the strategy of what the Braves are doing? And a lot of this, I think we all have to come back and look at it and say, what would this rotation be doing if you did have a healthy Spencer Strider right now? Maybe that plan would have been different. Maybe they would come off of it a little bit more if they felt like they had more stability.
Yeah. All right, Grant, like we said, man, you know, we got that. I don't know. It was a false hope. The losing two to the Marlins just was such a body blow. But as Grant just laid out, man, Ian Anderson now ahead of schedule. Maybe now Ozzie Albies ahead of schedule. So if you're looking for some things to hang your hat on, I guess that's all we got for now.
Yeah, and we'll see what they're able to do. I mean, everybody wants to see results. I know that, you know, as much as we've talked about it and tried to figure it out ourselves, I think Freddie Gonzalez has said this a while back, is nobody wants to hear the labor pains. They just want to see the baby. And for the Braves, it feels like they're about 9.5 months pregnant on this offense, and they need to get something delivered.
Grant, we will see what happens tonight, my friend. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you again.
Take care, guys.
Like I said, guys, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. I used to, Bobby Cox used to drive me frigging nuts with the platoon stuff. I just thought situations, you know, and again, if the best team wins the World Series every year, then Bobby Cox has 6 or 7. Snitker would have 3 rings right now, right, based on last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I can't get on his case because the guy did such great work. You had the Dodgers down 3-1 the COVID year. He hadn't got any pitching to start game 5. You know, I mean, there's things that are beyond his control. And I think he's done the best he can. You want to start making chicken blank, you know, out of chicken salad or vice versa? That's what he's trying to do this season.
He is. This is not a World Series team.
But you can't. I cannot go down that road where you're going to start taking shots at Snicker.
No.
Come on.
No. I think that's foolish. But we have seen enough evidence to believe, and they have played with my emotions enough this season. We'll come back. We're going to talk
Don't
more about
Don't push Dukes because he's close to the edge.
We're going to talk about what happened in Miami today. Also, Torrey McElhaney fills us in on the latest with our Falcons, what happened today, and the injury to one wide receiver. We'll explain coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.